Jenny? Ladies and gentlemen, I would now call the board back in session. Next case, please.
Case number 11216, Allen Harum Foods LLC, west of Road 331 Iron Branch Road and southeast of Iron Branch and the town of Millsboro. Tax ID District 233, Map 5, parcels 14, 15, and 16, a special use exception for a potentially hazardous use poultry processing facility.
Mr. Chairman, with your permission, I would like to state that I have a conflict of interest with this case, so with your permission, I would like to recuse myself from this hearing.
Okay, that's granted for you, Mr. Trussell. Okay.
Evening, gentlemen and ladies.
Good evening, sir.
Gene Byard on behalf of the applicant, Allen Harum. I'm really glad this is not an application for a special exception for a produce stand. We will try to be brief. With me tonight, I have two witnesses, Jim Quinton, who is the Director of Operations at Allen Harum, and John Shahan, who is the project engineer. Because this planned facility may represent a potentially hazardous use, a special exception is required from the Board of Adjustment to confirm, first of all, that the area is properly zoned, and in the language of a very recent Supreme Court decision, confirming that the proposed facility will not substantially affect adversely adjoining and neighboring properties. With that, I'd ask Jim to come forward. Jim, I think you need to be sworn.
Can you state your name and address for the record?
James M. Quinn, Sr., 5541 Harmony Woods Drive, Preston, Maryland, 21655.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes, ma'am.
Thank you.
Jim, if you'd step up to the microphone, please.
Could you give the board a brief description of the proposed?
Yes, I'll give you the short version. The long version will actually take place on June 17th at the Millsboro Fire Hall. We're going to have a public meeting and give a real long version of what our intentions are and our purposes for this facility. But I'll try to be brief this evening. We want to have a poultry processing facility. Basically, we'll bring live poultry into the processing plant through trucks. None of these trucks will be permitted to go through the town of Millsboro itself. They will go down 113, go down Thorogood Road onto Iron Branch Road into the facility, which we have mapped out over here. Once arriving at the facility, they will go into a holding shed, which will be well ventilated and have a filtering system on it to remove the dust particles and any possible ammonias in there. Once coming out of this cooling shed, it would be backed into a building that would be added on to the facility and enclosed for a live receiving, which they will be taken into the process to be into the hanging room, and all the equipment would be washed. On this is a very new tech ventilation system that also pulls out all dust and particles and smell. So that would be the main dust concern would be in that area, which would be enclosed, which we have a ventilation system proposed to put into this facility.
Jim, what end poultry products will be produced for human consumption at the plant?
Packaged whole birds, which would be for injection, like you say, in a rotisserie market. You'll have the wonderful smell of Italian garlic, lemon pepper, barbecue, the same things you would see in your grocery store in a rotisserie. Finished cooked products would be the whole bird, canned chicken, and our final facility for the cook plant.
What is the distinction between a rendering plant and a processing plant?
The distinction between the two, in a rendering plant, you're processing offal, which is your guts, your blood, your feathers from the poultry process. We will not process any of that in this facility. It will go into trucks. The trucks will be removed and then taken off to a location out of the state.
How frequently will the offal removal process occur?
At least the trucks will at least be removed within every 3 hours.
Again,
Where will your live haul trucks be parked when offloading poultry?
At the back of the facility. They will come into the facility, go to the rear of the facility, and then from there, there will be a holding shed there, and then not, you know, within 100 yards, will be received into the receiving area.
If you had to guess, what would be a fair estimate of the number of live haul trucks per day?
I had it peak 47.
I have no other questions. Jim, in the interest of time, I'd like to call John Fay if I may.
Yes, please.
Thank you.
Sorry, we'll speak up.
I'm sorry.
We will speak up. John, if you could be sworn.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
John Shahan, P.O. Box 1114, Allen, Maryland.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
Thank you.
John, if you will, could you describe this site and its present condition?
This site has been used for cucumber pickling for since 1972-73 when it was originally constructed, fully with local trucks and trucks from out of the area bringing in raw product and for the pickling operation, and then of course shipping it out.
If you had to guess, how much of the property is improved?
Well, the total site is 107 acres. There's approximately 13 acres that's wooded, and then approximately 11 acres that's marsh that provide a buffer on, I guess, really two sides of the facility. That leaves about 83 acres that can be improved for the operation.
Is it the applicant's intent not to disturb the woods or the wetlands?
Absolutely. In fact, we're going to be adding to that wooded buffer along the Iron Branch Road.
What new buildings and other improvements are planned for the site?
As Mr. Quinton mentioned, we're going to be building a new live receiving area where the trucks will be backing in for unloading. We're going to be improving the cucumber receiving building, which right now is open, to provide ventilation for the live holding chickens, and then as well as a wastewater processing system that will meet all the DENREC requirements.
Are there possible impacts from dust and odor?
There's more of a dust impact during construction than any time. The plan is to pave all the road surfaces. Currently, there is a lot of area that is just crusher run or stone that could be dusty, but the plan is to pave everything. Odors, Mr. Quinton mentioned the system that will be on the live receiving that will be filtering out a lot of the odors from that operation.
What about potential visual impacts?
Visual impact, it's pretty well hidden from all the neighboring residential areas. We're going to be putting in the wooden buffer or the landscape buffers along Iron Branch Road, as I mentioned, to hide that area, as well as around the trailer parking area that is proposed.
In order to proceed, what permits, I'll call them environmental permits, will be necessary for the project?
Well, the DENREC requires an air quality permit, wastewater discharge, stormwater management, and then we also have to get into water allocation for wells to pump water for the processing.
And what about our friends at DelDOT?
DelDOT certainly gets into all the traffic design. We'll be working with them very closely to fully develop the entrance and make improvements to that for the amount of employee traffic and truck traffic that's proposed.
Can you describe briefly what the plan is for treatment of wastewater and disposal?
It is to put in a entirely new state-of-the-art system that will meet all the DENREC requirements. The limits for the new system will be much reduced over what is currently allowed by the Pinnacle Foods wastewater permit. And there's discussion about some other RIBS system that we've not gotten all the requirements determined with the geologists at this point.
Is it fair to say that this special exception is a baby step, and where the hard work comes is in the permitting process?
Absolutely. This is certainly, we're just getting started in the design. We have a lot of building design, electrical, mechanical, all those systems to work out, as well as all the environmental permits that were mentioned.
Mr. Chairman, if I may, since section 115-111 requires the board to consult with the permitting agencies or the agencies with jurisdiction over the permitting process here, I'm going to hand up the cheat sheet for the board. That's contact information for all the agencies that will be involved in the process. Don, if you could go to the board. If you could identify each property that adjoins the site.
Well, we'll start basically at the site and try to follow around in direction. Immediately across Iron Bridge Road is Colonial Estates. We're coming on around there.
Stop right there, John. That's a residential subdivision. When was that created?
Best we can tell from aerial historical pictures, it was somewhere about in the early 1970s.
At or around the same time that the Vlasic plant was developed?
That's correct. Right. Then there's some other scattered residential in the area. Then there's Holiday Acres to the south of the property.
When was that developed?
That was in the late 70s.
After
after the
Vlasic process. Plant was developed?
Yes, sir. Continuing on Thurgood's Road, there's ag land, and then there's the Thurgood's concrete aggregate facility where they receive product.
When was that developed?
Again, from those aerial maps, best we can tell, it was before 1960.
Am I correct that aggregate is delivered by rail to that property?
I believe that's correct.
All right.
And the railroad goes through right between the Pinnacle property and Thurgood's.
And if I recollect, the purpose of the railroad originally was to get coal to the Indian River power plant?
Yes, sir. Continuing on around, actually adjoining property, there's the Millwood property or development that has been started very recently.
That's a residential development?
Yes. And then, of course, we've got a lot of marsh and woodland continuing back towards Iron Branch Road. There is other industrial property.
Point those out, if you will.
As you go north along the railroad track, there's the M&T Bank building, which was formerly NCR Corporation.
When was NCR developed, if you know?
1973, the best we could tell, or prior to that. Coming back out along Route 113, there's the Suburban Propane, which is again was established prior to 1973, and that is to the west of the Millwood development. And then Sussex Lumber is further south from there.
What about neighboring, not adjoining, but neighboring properties?
If you go back to the east side towards the river, there was Wharton's Bluff, which was established about 2000 or thereafter.
And what distance is that if you travel along
the
river?
It's approximately a third of a mile. It's just over half a mile to the M&T Bank building, and then about 0.38 miles to the Millwood development.
Any other neighboring properties that you haven't already addressed?
I have identified one here, Possum Point, which again is to the northeast of this property, but that's not immediately adjacent.
Please, we all get a chance.
When was Possum Point created, if you know?
It at least partially developed back before any of our area maps that we found, which was 1953.
So is it fair to say that there is a substantial block of heavy industrial zoned land and developed land around and near the Pinnacle property?
Yes, sir.
What about that yellow line that's drawn on the plot? What is that intended to represent?
That is the proposed truck route that that Jim mentioned, that we would leave the site, make a right turn to go down Iron Branch Road to the first intersection and make a right on Thurgood's Road or Route 333 and take that out to Dagsboro Road and then on out to 113.
That's all I have of this witness. If you have questions, gentlemen.
Is there any questions from any members of the board?
I have one question.
Mr. Berkman.
How was the pickle plant? They used the same road and they had it?
How would what again?
How did they transport out?
The Pinnacle?
Yeah, the pickle plant. When it was there, the Lassick?
I assume that most of their traffic went that direction, but I don't know that, sir.
Same track?
Same basic path.
Okay.
Thanks, John. Gentlemen, as all of you know, Sussex County does not issue environmental permits. This is not the time or the place to take up matters of air quality, water quality, wastewater, stormwater. All of that is down the road and mostly in Dover. What we're here tonight to ask the board to find is that the area is appropriate based on a minimum 50-year history of heavy industrial development in this quadrant south of Millsboro. There are a number of people here who want to, I'm sure, talk about the environment, but I suggest to them that the right place is the permitting agency that has jurisdiction over their particular concern. We'll be glad to answer any questions you have.
Is there any questions from members of the board at this time? We'll start with you, Mr. Berkman.
How many trucks are leaving the facility with the waste? You said every 3 hours, but how many trucks are leaving?
Candidly, I'm damned if I know, but I can ask the question for you.
Okay.
Jim, do you want to field that one?
Approximately, it would be two shifts, so you would look at probably.
Can you speak a little louder for these
folks? Yes. Over two shifts, you're probably looking at a total of seven. Four would be meat, three would be feathers.
Oh.
Yes.
And that's going out of state?
Yes.
And that is, how is that handled? It's all handled inside the building and then
yes,
covered in let and
it's called an off-all building. It's an enclosed building that you back trucks in and it goes into the trailer. And then they have on-site drivers from that facility that pick it up right then and take it right to their facility out of state.
And that's an enclosed trailer?
Yeah. The totally enclosed, well, the top is an open top trailer that, of course, they have covers that they put over, yes.
It's a dump trailer?
Yes.
Yeah, dump trailer.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
What about the loading docks? You were saying you've got a new facility for that?
I'm sorry, sir?
The loading docks? You said you had a new facility?
The shipping, the
shipping,
the dress hall shipping docks?
Yeah.
There's currently two shipping docks on the facility now. Mm-hmm. We will not be changing those. They are adequate for the facility. Okay.
How many are they?
How many are currently there?
Yeah.
Seven. I don't have the exact number off the top of my head. I don't want to give you a guess.
Okay. But it's based on square footage. That's the reason I just wanted to.
Sir, too, you said how many trucks are leaving with the waste?
There would be four meat and three feathers.
So, I mean.
Seven.
Seven. Okay.
Per day.
Per shift.
That would be for both shifts.
Both shifts. Roughly. Okay, both. How many leaving with the products that you're shipping out?
Total products. That could vary up to 18.
18 plus 7. Mm-hmm. And is that 18 for per shift or 18 per
total,
day?
Total per day.
Total
per day.
Total per day.
25, approximately 25 trucks a day.
Approximately.
Both shifts. Okay.
And what's the shift run?
Processing shift would start at 5. There would be two shifts, 5 to 1:30 and 2 to 10:30.
2 to 10:30.
Okay. Mr. Rickards, do you have any further questions?
Not right now, no.
Okay. Thank you.
So we have, I believe there is someone who wishes to speak in favor of the application.
Okay. Are there any persons here that are in favor of this application?
Sir? Chairman, I have one letter as well.
Do you have one letter also? Okay. Why don't you come on up, sir, if you want to. Corbin be sworn in, please.
Chairman, can we
good evening. Just to that letter? Can you state your name and address for the record?
Ed Key, 18890 Johnson Road, Lincoln, Delaware.
Do you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for this opportunity. My name is Ed Key. I live in Lincoln, Delaware, and it's my privilege to serve the state as our Secretary of Agriculture. And so being interested in the development and enhancement of agriculture, our administration sees this as a great opportunity to continue what has been a 40-year use of food processing at this facility. Obviously, there's great economic activity. It's a tremendous construction project, $100 million construction project. It'll create 700 full-time jobs, and a good portion of them, 75 to 100 roughly, are management, engineering, supervisor jobs. So an economic shot in the arm. Specifically, it also supports the farming community, the farmers that are out there who are not only growing the chickens, but the grain and the soybeans to support it. So it's a positive economically. But I also believe, and I'll stress this or I'll explain why, that this is an opportunity also for a role model of a modern facility that really is run in an environmentally sound way and in a way that respects the community. Governor Markell, myself as Secretary of Agriculture, Colin O'Mara, Secretary of DENREC, Alan Levin at Economic Development, and John McMahon at Labor, all look forward to working with Alan Harim as the plans develop and to comply, meet, or exceed the various environmental, traffic, and any other state permits that are there. I think it's important and telling to note the ownership and management of this company are very, very committed to doing this right. First of all, they've scheduled a community meeting so neighbors or anyone interested in the whole county or state, but especially the community, can come and actually talk and share concerns and sincerely accept feedback and have that communication. I do stress they have respect for that. I was privileged back in December to visit South Korea, where this company runs 5 poultry plants. And my first observation is they are run as well or better as anything we have here. They have a strong ethic and commitment to being good neighbors and doing things correctly. I've heard the owner of the company express to me and to our governor his total commitment to run the plant in a professional and employ the most modern technology for the whole plant, but also as any environmental, on all the environmental issues. As I said, it was $100 million. It's going to be, or if it goes, it'll be a $100 million project. They're going to invest between $10 and $15 million in the upgrade on all the wastewater treatment. And I say that not only, the money is impressive, but the real message here is they're using the most modern, proven, scientifically sound technology through the whole plant, from the beginning, when the birds come in, to the wastewater that goes out, and I can vouch for that. So I guess what I want to end with is reassure you that they will apply and do things correctly to get all the correct permits. I also want to reassure you that the state will hold them to a high standard to meet those regulations and rules. And again, as I say, I think they're a fine corporate citizen and they want to come and do the right thing. And obviously it has tremendous economic impact. So I thank you for your time and I'll be glad to answer any questions if that's appropriate at this time.
So you feel that it's not substantially going to affect adversely any part of that neighborhood, or what is coming in, what
I don't
seen
think,
so far?
What I've seen so far, I think they will be, I don't think the community will see much difference than the previous, you know, operation there. Mm-hmm. I certainly understand and respect the community's concerns. They all have, they're great questions. I live 2 miles from a poultry plant in Milford. I understand the concerns. And when you do the math on the 25 trucks over 16 hours, that, I don't know, 1-point-something trucks per hour, and then the live haul that comes in over 2 shifts is about 3 trucks per hour. And they, just as a, they are the ones that looked at the map and said there's an obvious way to route the trucks rather than through Millsboro. So to answer your question in a little more detail, I think it can be done, and I'm sure the ownership wants to do it the right way to not only meet their neighbors' concerns, but to meet or exceed all the state standards.
Thank you.
Okay, any other questions? Mr. Workman?
The only question I got is not really from, it's different. The poultry is going to be all year, where pickles are just during harvest time. They don't do it all year, pickles.
Now, can I correct you a little bit?
Okay.
The pickle operation was basically running sometime towards the end of February into December, and they were pulling product out of Mexico, Florida, for 1 shift a day, and then in the summer season, 2 shifts. But you are right, poultry will be running year-round. But the other thing about poultry that's different than pickles, the plant will only be running Monday through Friday with an occasional Saturday shift. So it's 5 days year-round, where the pickles were off in 7 during the season.
During the season, yes.
Mm-hmm. How many of these plants are throughout the United States, or is it just Delaware that they're coming from South Korea?
How many chicken?
Yeah, these facilities run by the South Korean.
Oh, this is the first.
This is the first?
Is their first foray into the United States.
Okay.
They run 5 poultry plants in Korea, mm-hmm. 2 for pork, and 1 for ducks in
and
South.
And you saw those?
I saw 2 of the poultry plants, yes, sir. Chicken plants.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Mr. Mills?
No questions.
And I have none. Thank you, sir.
I do have one.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Secretary Key, you had mentioned that the state plans to hold the applicant to a high standard throughout the permitting process. In those permitting processes, is there an opportunity for the public to participate in that?
Absolutely. There's opportunity for written comments, and there are hearings as the process goes forward. Yes.
So if they were to get approvals for the wastewater system plan or something along those lines, there would be an opportunity for neighbors to file comments with DENREC or be involved in that decision
making. That's
right.
On every, there's opportunities to learn directly what the exact plans are and then file comments as people feel fit.
I have nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, thank you. Again, sir, thank you. Is there anyone else here? Not, you have a letter there, would you?
It was please? From Secretary Key.
Oh, okay. Okay.
Been available to the board if they'd like to.
Oh, thank you. Sorry about that. Okay, is there anyone here in opposition to this application? Can you keep your hands up, please? There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, 23. Counted 24. Okay, do we?
I also have 11 letters and 2 that are in opposition to, but more have questions.
So you have 11 letters in opposition?
Right, and then 2 questionable.
What? Questionable, not questions?
They're more questions. They want to know what type of impact it's going to have on smell, drain water, local creeks and rivers. Basically the same for both. They just have more questions on how it's going to impact the environment and the school zones and the traffic, which way the trucks are going to go.
All questions not to be addressed by this board.
Yeah.
Right.
All those questions, we won't, you know, we don't address those.
And I have the letters of opposition if you'd like to.
Okay. Thank you. Okay, those that are here in opposition, do we have a spokesman? Or all those that would like to speak, would you please come forward at this time to be sworn in? Again, all those that wish to speak, please come forward at this time.
Can you state your name and address for the record, please?
Wayne A. Morris, 28064 Paulson Point, Millsboro, 19966.
You can wait right here for me.
Lou Podolsky, 2911 39th Street Northwest, Washington, D.C., and the homeowner at 27857 Paulson Point Road, Millsboro.
Okay. And if you can wait right here.
Dorothy LeCates, I'm the homeowner at 28030 Possum Point Road, Millsboro, Delaware.
Thank you.
Ken Haynes, Possum Point, 27976 Old Swimming Hall Road.
Okay. Tell you what, you four, I'm going to have you sworn in right now so I can, I'll get you folks next. I'll do it as a group here. Do you all swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do, sir.
Thank you. Folks? And you are?
Diane Daly, 20016 Bluff Point Drive, Millsboro, Delaware, 19966.
Okay.
Greg Abner, 10714 Scott Drive, Fairfax, Virginia, and a property owner of a number of lots in Ordnance Bluff community.
Thank you.
Richard Frohn, 9223 Schaefer's Mill Drive, Urbana, Maryland, owned property in Ordnance Bluff, 3007 Eagle Point Drive.
Mary Jane Decker, 27791 Possum Point Road, Millsboro, Delaware.
Okay. And do the four of you swear or affirm the testimony you're about to give is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the
What's
truth?
What's your next statement?
And I would ask that as each of you come up, if you could just identify yourselves, because we do record this, so that way we have it for the record who's speaking.
Okay. Who would like to go first? Ma'am?
Dorothy LeCates. I live at 28030 Possum Point Road, Millsboro. I've been there approximately 42 years. And when we moved there, it was a little fishing cottage along the river that we just enjoyed. It was a perfect retreat. I've got a shallow well. I'm concerned about the water, not just the river water and the quality of it, but our drinking water.
Okay.
That's one concern. The next concern I have is about the air quality. We live in a very heavily, I know it's a rural area, but it's a heavy industrial area. We're subject to concrete dust, the power plant, the poultry processing plant across the river, and, of course, the railroad right there. Garlic from the pickle plant was a pleasant smell as compared to what I'm anticipating with feathers. And I won't go into that, but air quality is my second concern. The third, if you're employing 700 employees, there's going to be a traffic problem. When I leave my home now and I go to Dagsbear, sometimes in the beach traffic, I sit there 20 or 30 minutes hoping there's a break in the traffic where the Route 113 traffic light backs up 2 miles, 3 miles to Dagsbear before I can get out. So there's definitely a problem, not just with the truck traffic. The truck traffic, as I calculated, you're anticipating at least 1 to 2 trucks per hour in and out of that plant going in one of the two directions. There should be a better flow of traffic and I'm anticipating that this is going through because a few homeowners, like the 70-some homeowners in Possum Point, are not going to stop this project. The way it is monitored and the way it is, the permits are issued, I mean, after the fact, and I don't know if tonight is going to be the end tale of this, but those are a few of the problems when I think about our not just our water, but the quality of our air, the traffic, and the lights. Those are major problems to a heavy industry as we have. And I live not 2 miles, Mr. McKay, but I live less than a mile, my doorstep to that plant. And out of the 70-some homeowners in Possum Point, I only know of one, and that was Mrs. Sh-
Shirley, who got the letter in Possum Point? Who got the letter in Possum Point? Who? What, your last name?
Decker.
Mrs. Decker. Out of 70-some people, only one got a letter. I just wish they would reconsider that area because we're heavily industrialized right now. And the water and the air and the safety factors and the traffic factors are all important to our lifestyle there. It's no longer a small community. Millsbury is no longer a small town. We're six times anticipated what was there when I moved there. So I let it rest there, and if I need further, please call me back.
All right, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you for your time.
Sir?
Hi, I'm Lou Podolsky, and obviously I share a lot of the same concerns. I think the main point I would like to make is I think it's premature for you to make any decision. I think the important decisions are going to be made at the state level with the environmental impact statements, the air quality, the water quality. We're worried about our wells. I think, you know, I'm a weekend and occasional week resident of Possum Point Road, but I just retired, so I'm looking forward to being here a lot more. But I never saw a truck come out of the Vlasic Pickle Factory and turn right and go to Thorogood Road. They all turned left and went by the schools. You know, these trucks, unless there's some kind of law passed or it's part of their regulation or their contract with the plant, are not going to go the long way around to get in and out of this facility. They're going to go right down Iron Branch Road past the schools and out Old Landing Road to the highway. And that's the way they're going to come in, too. I mean, you know, that is a matter of concern, and I would assume the State Department of Transportation will be dealing with that. But, you know, the bottom line for me is that it's premature to approve this at this time. You should wait until they've gone through and they've walked the walk and talked the talk and put committed to doing the things that need to be done to protect the air and water, both ground and the river, and to solve the transportation problems before you approve the variance. I think it's backwards to say, well, we'll leave all that to the state to do and we'll say okay now. Let's wait and see. Let's see to meet all of the requirements that the state and federal governments have and others, and then let's approve it. Because nobody wants to stop the 700 jobs, but you want to make sure that it's done right and that they live up to the commitments that they've made to the state and the representatives. So as a president once said, let's trust but verify. Let's verify that they've met all those commitments, that they're satisfying all the environmental concerns, they're dealing with the water issues, the air issues, the transportation issues. And once you're satisfied that all that's been done, then let's approve the variance. Not approve the variance and hope that everybody else does their job. That's my point. Thank you.
Okay, sir.
Wayne Morris, Possum Point, 28064 Possum Point Road. I was born and raised in Possum Point. I've been down there most of my life. And you're talking about the water. Blastics, when they put the wells in, they put in 6-inch wells first, and they closed up with iron. They went into the back by the train track, they put in 18-inch wells, and they are supposed to have screens at every well, water stream, and supposed to pump from the bottom of their wells, and they do not. They pump from each stream wherever they get their water from, and that causes us down in the point and neighboring areas, wells go dry. Because everyone that I know of in Possum Point, all but a very few wells, is 29 to 30 feet deep, and that's it, drinking water. And they've always been good, but if they put in bigger wells and use more water, they're going to cut us out. And that's one of my main concerns. And you're talking about truck traffic. I worked down at a power plant for 16 years loading ash on trucks when they were hauling to Dover. And they kept saying, well, they're not going to go this way or that way. The truckers will go whichever way he wants to go, unless they have a contract with him and says that they get caught on the wrong road, they will not haul for him.
Okay.
And then also, The traffic is getting bad because a lot of people in the summertime has learned these back roads. Used to in the summertime, us local people could take the back way to get around instead of out there in the heavy traffic. Those days are gone. Everybody's using back roads, and it's putting a lot of traffic on everything. So that's all I have to say.
Thank you, sir.
Good evening.
Good evening, sir.
Ken Haynes, Possum Point. As Dottie and Wayne said about the water, yes, I'm concerned. The gentleman had brought out asking for this variance for hazardous, but nothing was stated of what chemicals they're using. And they also brought out that they're bringing 25 trucks back and forth to the plant. The chemicals that they're using, how are they getting there? By truck too? This I don't know. Also, if these chemicals, I went on Google this afternoon looking at the plant, and using just a map itself, there's seven ponds or retention ponds, whatever, in the back of Plant Creekside, which close up shows it here, and it does show on their map over here. Now with Velasic, Velasic did have spills, which ended up in Iron Branch Creek, which further went down into Indian River, which turns the crabs belly up and pickled. I mean, you could smell the vinegar. You could also see the scum, the vinegar on there. And if they're going to be using the same retention ponds or whatever, we get a heavy flood, we get another hurricane like we did last year, that stuff's going to be ending up in the creek and into the river. Also, as Wayne brought out with the trucks, that they're going to take any route they can. Yes, they do come through and down Old Landing Road, but they have to cross the bridge. And this is a picture of the Iron Branch Bridge, which the approaches on both sides of the bridge are eroding. So now the bridge is 1 inch higher than the roadway on both sides, which any truck traffic on that is going to destroy that road completely. And that's all I have to say, sir.
All right. Thank you, sir.
Hi. My name is Diane Daly, and I live in Morton's Bluff. And I guess my major concerns are, too, you know, they talked about the 25 trucks coming in but to taking the waste out, but they didn't talk about the trucks that were coming in with the live chickens. And we were told roughly 47 a day. And these are not little trucks. These are huge, huge trucks that are open-air trucks because the chickens are right there. So right there you get the smells from that. So you're going to have all those trucks coming in. When Vlasic was there, they didn't have 700 people. And I know 700 is great. You know, it's giving all these people opportunities for work. But the roads, we don't have to support 700 people coming in for jobs at that time. It's very small. There's not a lot. You've got two schools. You've got a middle school, and you've got a grade school on that road, Iron Branch Road. These trucks now that come down there do not do 20 miles an hour. When school's in session, they're doing 50 miles an hour. What are these big chicken trucks going to do? Because I agree with everybody else. They're not going to come through Thoroughgroads and all the way around. They're going to come down Iron Branch and cross that little bridge that's going to cause that bridge to go under, and then we're not going to have a way to get back and forth. All these kids, you know, that are in there with these, you know, kids and these trucks coming by, open-air chicken trucks with the smells and everything else, they smell when they go by because the chickens are all right there. I mean, if you sit and go downtown Millsboro when the chicken plants are going to the plant that's in Millsboro already, you can smell them. So these are all the concerns I have, that I don't think we have enough in and out to get 700 workers plus all these trucks that are bringing things in, taking things out in there. If there is a way to build a road from where the plant is directly to 113, you know, I mean, that would be great because I know there is a lot of acreage there. I just don't know where it connects with 113. So if it could come off the major highway and not come back in to where we are, again, like I said, the schools are my major concern with all the kids back there and these big trucks coming back and forth all year round, stuff like that. So those are the kind of things I'm looking for is how are we going to do with this traffic? There's just too much traffic coming in there. Thank you.
Thank you, ma'am.
I got a question, ma'am.
Sure.
Do you smell the other chicken plant?
Yes, I do.
You do?
Yes. I do. Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, I you know, it, the wind just blows the right way, and that's probably 4 miles from my house. This is only 0.33, and I ride a bike. I ride my bike all the time. I ride down Iron Branch Road, down through Dagsboro and everything. Now I'm going to be concerned when I'm trying to ride with all these big trucks coming by doing 50 miles an hour, because down at that end, it's 50 miles an hour. You know, it doesn't get to be 35 till you get up to where the school are. So now I'm going to be trying to ride my bike, you know, with all these trucks and all these cars coming, people trying to get to their jobs and stuff like that.
So the pickle trucks went at the same, over that same bridge too then?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, but there wasn't as many, and there wasn't as many workers.
So the weight limit's still there on that bridge for those heavy trucks, though.
Yeah, and I don't know. But like I said, I think these trucks, the chicken trucks, are a lot heavier than the pickle trucks were.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
So it's a big difference.
Okay.
Ma'am.
Yeah.
The bridge that you're talking about, if you look on that poster there, do you see the yellow route?
Right, right.
Is that bridge on that route? I'm just trying to get an idea where it's at.
The bridge is right here.
Okay.
So if they do this route, then you're fine. But this is the more direct route to come down this way. So most, I mean, how are you going to stop that? How are you going to tell the truck driver, well, you must, and who's going to sit and watch that they come this way? So if they're coming 113, they're going to come down Old Landing and right down into the thing.
Is that area truck restricted now?
No.
Ladies and gentlemen, could you please refrain from, ma'am, from your answers so we could listen to this lady so the board can hear? Thank you. Go ahead, ma'am. I'm sorry about that.
That's okay. No.
That was my only question.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Sharp.
Okay.
Thank you, ma'am.
Thank you.
My name's Rich Fromm. My wife Judith and I, pardon me if I read my statement.
That's okay, sir.
On this small device. My wife Judith and I purchased our home in Wharton's Bluff a couple of years ago. We selected the location for its beautiful, place on the river and were encouraged by the many steps that were taken in the development of the community to protect the environment along the river. At the time we purchased the property, we were not aware of the Mount Air plant across the river. We were unpleasantly surprised when, after moving in, we opened the bedroom windows on a summer night to enjoy the fresh air and had a difficult time going to sleep because of the excessive noise coming from the river, the plant over a mile away across the river. Like the goals of the board, our concerns are the safety, the general welfare, protection of water areas, surrounding property and persons. Specifically, we're concerned about the noise from the plant, the rendering. Obviously, they're not going to do rendering there. And perhaps incinerator and processing lines. The traffic congestion in Millsboro is already mentioned. Disposal of waste products into the nearby environment, which has already been addressed. And in addition to that, the value of our property, the potential of this plant to decrease property values in our neighborhood or otherwise inhibit or reduce sales of the other properties in the neighborhood. I do have some additional questions here and comments. And the main one deals with the process. I agree with the other gentleman entirely who received the applause for stating the sequence of events that should occur. It seems to me, I agree with him entirely, that these other issues should be sorted out and approved before we say, okay, you can use the property for this purpose. One of my questions here is, what is the hazard for which they are requesting relief? And in fact, what are the criteria that this board uses to judge whether this property is can in fact be used for that purpose? Some of the hazards that were mentioned in 115-111 are use of incinerators, meat, fish, and seafood products, include slaughtering of animals or poultry, rendering and storage of dead animals, slaughtering of animals, soaps or detergents, including fat rendering, which obviously won't be done, and or others not listed above. So I think the board should carefully consider, first of all, their criteria for granting this exception, and then base the information against that criteria and not just the objections that all of us have together regarding this plan. That's all I have to say. Any questions?
Yes, I'm sorry I took public speaking when you put that thing right back in your pocket. That's pretty neat. we're really getting somewhere, aren't we?
No paper.
Yeah, really, that's right. Thank you.
Thank you.
My name is Mary Jean Decker, and I live on Possum Point Road, and I was one of the ones that received the letter. And I was also concerned about the hazardous and what they were talking about in this letter. I didn't quite understand what was going on with that. Not quite sure still. Most of my concerns are also the water quality, the air quality, the river, the traffic. And I know when Vlasic's system failed with the wastewater, we had great big green, I don't know, I guess they were trucks that were running, taking all this stuff out of Vlasic. I don't know what kind of trucks they're going to be using to take this poultry stuff out, as they're referring to. I don't know if it's going to be something like that or what, but that concerns me. And also, with the developments that are around this area now, there are a lot of children of young teenage children that ride their bicycles not only from Possum Point but the trailer park over on Thoroughgood's Road to that trailer park over there, Burton Acres, River Bend. We have a lot more children now than what we used to have. And with all that traffic is going out through Thoroughgood's, this also concerns me. As far as Vlasic, they did go out through Millsboro. And I know during the summertime, if I go down Thoroughgood's Road and I get out to the end of that road, it is a long time before I can get out off that road onto Dagsboro Road to go anywhere because of the traffic being backed up so far in the summertime. That's all I have to say.
Thank you, ma'am.
Good evening. My name is Craig Havener, and I'm the builder of the final 23 lots that remain in the Wharton's Bluff community. We have five new homeowners we just welcomed there, and we have another 18 homes to complete that community of 133 homes altogether. I don't think we're necessarily in opposition of the concept of jobs and chickens. We all need them, and we all eat them. But the question here really is how to best integrate this new use into an existing community, albeit a combination of industrial uses and residential. It seemed to have gotten along pretty well in the past. Obviously some issues over time, but by and large, you know, nothing that people couldn't live with. But this is a big change. This brings a lot more truck traffic, a lot more employee traffic, and a lot more of the things that are more an issue of perception versus reality in terms of what does poultry processing mean. And we've all had experiences with poultry processing. We're driving down the road and you get within a mile of a plant and you've got to roll your windows up, and even then it's pretty difficult to handle, particularly on a summer day. I understand there's new technologies available, and it sounds like the applicant has committed to applying all that, and the Secretary of Agriculture is even here to speak on their behalf and stated his involvement, and that he will be involved with other state agencies to make sure that they do create a model plant. And I think that's what we would all like to see here. So the question is, you know, how deep does that commitment run, and how effective can this board be and the other agencies that are involved in the regulatory process? How effective can they be at the end of the day? I mean, as an example, odor is a subjective thing. what might smell odoriferous to one may not to another, may smell like money to the guys that are processing the poultry. You grow accustomed to some things, you get used to them, but that's a hard thing to measure. You know, what's offensive to one may not necessarily be offensive to another. But I don't think that the issue is really what came first, the chicken or the pickle. I think we're looking at a changed use here, and the chicken use is one that's certainly, you know, different than the pickle use from a timing standpoint, from the number of shifts per day, from the types of odors that might be emitted from that. So the question really is, how does the chicken integrate itself into the neighborhood in a way that it's accepted with open arms? And you know, I think it's right to obviously to support economic development, to support job growth, prosperity in the local economy. And as someone stated earlier, this filters down through the farming community, through the local produce stands that were here earlier. They, you know, just everybody will thrive from this at some point. But the issues that are of grave concern, not grave concern, but, you know, the issues that you encounter as a layperson going past these plants is odor, it's noise, it's lighting. If you're running two shifts, there'll be a fair amount of light, I would imagine, at nighttime. How do you control that from impacting surrounding properties? It sounds like there's a solution to the traffic as long as it can be enforced. So maybe posting, you know, no through truck traffic and then some means to enforce that, I think, would be useful. Hours of operation, you know, it's stated two shifts. You know, economic pressure sometimes can change that. You've got a big investment in that plant. You aren't typically working Saturdays or Sundays unless it's around a major holiday, usually in poultry from what I've been told. But you have that big of investment, you know, you're going to try and maximize that to the extent that you can. So if the demand is there, there may be pressure there to up production to meet it. There was a couple of comments that came up on the number of trucks, and I think that's hasn't been clearly addressed until perhaps tonight. The original statement that was made that I had a letter from Allen's was talking about 47 trucks a day, both live haul and dressed product leaving. But it sounds like now we have some byproducts from the process amounting to 23 trucks or so. So that's you know, up to about 70 trucks a day now. And then another gentleman brought up the point about the chemicals and other products that are used in the manufacturing process. So that's a lot of traffic for that stretch of road there. I think that's pretty much it. Thank you for your time.
Okay. You're welcome, sir. Now, is there anybody, or is there anyone left?
Chairman.
Yes, ma'am.
One comment.
Ma'am, you need to come forward, please, if you wish to talk, so we can get it on record.
Thank you, sir.
Yes, ma'am.
A suggestion for the planning and zoning. Please take a closer look at the statistics on Iron Branch Road. We average one life a year on that little crazy bridge down there. Three Sunday mornings ago, there was an accident. The emergency service comes out there, and they pick up anybody on a motorbike or a car traveling too fast. There's some very heavy factual information that will prove these statistics. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
I have one more question.
Oh, okay.
Wayne Morris. My question is could they do this processing there without killing the birds there, kill the birds somewhere else, and bring them in, and then do the rest of the process at that building?
I want to get that question answered.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Mr. Byer, do you want to come back up and address some of these?
Briefly, gentlemen.
Yes. Now, did I get everyone, sir?
Sir, I'm a lawyer.
He's
sir.
An attorney,
Nobody
sir.
Nobody believes what I say anyway, oh. So it doesn't matter.
Yeah, we all have seen lawyers.
I'm sorry?
Gentlemen, the function of the Board of Adjustment, not the Planning and Zoning Commission, because you're not the Planning and Zoning Commission, is limited. And what it's limited to in this equation is what's involved in the grant of a special exception. I appreciate all the concerns I've heard about the environment. Believe me, Alan Harim appreciates them a lot more than I do, because I'm not trying to develop this project. and I don't have to pay the engineers to try and get the permits. Alan Harim doesn't have the first permit. The only process here is to determine, one, whether the property is properly zoned. And I believe Ms. Lacate said clearly this is an industrial area. The second question is whether this project substantially affects adversely adjoining and neighboring properties. Right. With all respect to the people here, that occurred more than 40 years ago. This property has been developed industrially. Thoroughgoods, the rail line, NCR, it's all happened. People knew and have known for years the area is zoned and has been developed industrially. Again, this is only a baby step. The permitting process is going to be long, complicated, rigorous, and the concerns of neighbors will be fully vetted during that process. But all we're here for is a special exception. Now, there was a question that I believe Jim could answer about the possibility of bringing in poultry that had already been slaughtered to this site. Does that make any economic sense at all to you, Jim?
You have to come forward.
You have to come forward.
Sir, please come up so we get that on record.
No, it wouldn't be economically feasible to slaughter it at another facility and then bring it to this facility for further processing. I mean, it just no economics. We could see we could do that.
But that would involve, if they slaughtered elsewhere, then you'd have to bring them in refrigerated trucks.
Yes, and they'd all have to be refrigerated, packed. You would actually have more trucks because you couldn't bring them in.
Bring them in.
You know, packaged as you could live with fewer trucks, so you would bring in more traffic at that point.
Okay. Sir, I do have one more question for you. I got to read just a little bit of this paperwork I got from you,
okay.
The book. It says, got a buffer zone for the noise and then odor. What kind of odor do you think you'd be having out of this plant?
Cooked chicken.
So it'd be smelling good.
It'd be smelling pretty good, I would be. I mean, that's what we're going to do. We're going to process and cook poultry. So.
So you're setting it up, but it's like how Purdue set it up, different parts.
Yes.
And everything else.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. How does it market that way?
Yes.
How does this plant differ from the plant across the river, Mount Air?
This plant will not have a rendering facility. As I stated earlier, a rendering facility, you're smelling the cooking of guts, feathers, blood. You know, I've had the pleasure to oversee a rendering plant and work in one. So you won't have any of those odors here. I mean, it's just raw guts that will be taken out. I said with minimum 3 hours per truck will be off the property, but you won't have any of that smell from the cooking or processing of the rendering, which is the main smell you'll get from a processing facility. So that would be the main difference.
Another question too. Do you have a way of making those trucks come in that way?
Do we have a way of making trucks come in that way?
Yeah.
Sir, I would answer that question as condition of employment. Our trucks are hired by our drivers for the most part. We oversee our drivers and maintain our drivers. So, yes, we have yep. a way of maintaining through disciplinary actions
to ensure
they go in and come out that way. Mm-hmm. Contract drivers would not be contracted if they didn't follow to the rules and policies of the company.
Okay.
The other control, obviously, is a permit from Delta.
Right.
There's no indication that's forthcoming.
I mean, I know truck drivers, they want to go at all the times. You're not supposed to be going this road, but they do go that road.
Yes, sir. That's how we would control
it. Okay. Let me ask a question that I had right there wrote down. Okay.
Okay. Any other questions? Bud?
Mr. Byard, the secretary had mentioned that there was going to be 700 jobs. Is that right? Is that
figure? What Secretary Kate said.
Okay. Of those, he said there will be blue collar. Is that correct?
The blue secretary collar can speak for himself. He's a
okay,
big boy.
Fine.
Come on up,
I was hoping you'd say that, Mr. Byer.
He's smarter than I am.
Yes, sir.
And I just wanted to know what portion of that would you be saying would be presented here in Sussex County? You could draw from the blue collar and the other management type of personnel. We know we have people that need work.
Yeah, so just to start from the beginning, 700 jobs, 75 to 100 will be management-type jobs. A lot of them will be sourced locally.
Locally? Okay.
And, you know, the remaining 600 or so that are, you know, in the actual out on the lines in the manufacturing and loading trucks and everything, you know, I'm sure their goal is to source as much of that locally. And when I say locally, I'm really saying Sussex County,
mm-hmm.
you know,
that's
people
what I'm
coming
asking.
In from Sussex mm-hmm. County. I'm sure if this plant gets going and we drive through the parking lot, we would see some Maryland license plates out there, but it's primarily Delaware. That's what makes the most sense. Makes the most sense from a management point of view, too. You know, people that are closer, you know, it's just easier to get people to work and from work and all that. So
primarily it'd be Sussex County?
Primarily, yes, sir.
Thank you.
Yep.
Mr. Bell?
No other questions.
Sure.
I have a few.
Okay.
Mr. Byard, we heard a concern about lights on site. What's the lighting going to be like? What's the lighting like now? What's it proposed to be?
In all candor, Mr. Sharp, I'm not the engineer. John, could you come forward, please?
Currently, the area at the back of the property near the railroad track is pretty well lit, where they had brine tanks, where they would be receiving cucumbers and getting them into brine tanks all the time. And there's a lot of poles out there that are obstructions to truck traffic. So a lot of those are going to be taken out. I'm sure that we're going to have some lighting on the paved areas, but I really see it being a reduction in lighting in back in that area. The rest of the building should stay pretty much as is. Wouldn't you agree, Jim? Yeah.
And the next question I had was, do you know, is there a water line out that way? I know we heard some neighbors talking about wells and whatnot. Is there a municipal line or a artesian line, anything like that out there that you're aware of?
It is not currently served by the town of Millsboro. There has been some discussion about addressing with the city to be annexed in and the pros and cons of that, but we have not pursued that at this time.
I have nothing further, Mr. Chairman.
Okay. Thank you. Either the opposition. Thank you, Mr. Boyer. Sure, you have something else?
No.
Okay. You're hearing no other opposition. Rebuttals?
Mr. Chairman, just as a kind of a point of order, the section of the code that we are dealing with regarding this requires that the board consult with other agencies created for the promotion of public health and safety. I know that Mr. The attorney for the applicant has provided you with a list of contact information for those agencies.
Yes, sir.
So I think it would be proper for the board to consult with those agencies prior to rendering a decision on this application.
Okay, gentlemen, and Evan brings it. Madam Secretary, you will get us a copy of that.
We got it.
Got it in the book.
Okay. Okay, then having been said then, Chair will entertain a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I make a motion to table our, this case, number 11,216 to our next regular meeting.
Which is 17th?
That would be should be the 20th.
June 17th?
June 17th.
17th? This is the 6th?
Yes.
Okay.
Today's 3rd.
So it would be 7th. Okay.
I'll second that motion, Mr. Chairman.
We have a motion by Mr. Mills and a second by Mr. Rickards that we table case number 11,216 to our next regular meeting, which will be June the 17th. All those in favor of the motion?
Aye.
Mr.
Aye.
Mills?
Aye.
Mr. Rickards?
Aye.
Mr. Rodney? Aye. And Mr. Callaway. So by vote, ma'am, just... By a vote of 4-0, case number 11,216 to be tabled for our next regular meeting.
hearing on this matter in Millsboro, and we have to be at that meeting. How can we be here at St. Don?
Ma'am, I'll speak to that. That's not a hearing. That's a...
Well, we'd like to be at both places. Judge, ma'am.
I understand what the board does here on the 17th is not a public hearing. They discuss the matter in public session. It's not a public hearing.
I know, but do you understand what I mean?
Oh, sure.
I mean, they're telling us one thing while you're getting it through here. That's what it feels like.
This hearing is closed now.
The public hearing's closed.
Public hearing's closed.
There's no more comment. The only thing that this board will be doing is deliberating on the hearing that we've had tonight. There will
that
be
no, scares me, sir. Thank you for your time.
You can watch it on the internet as well.
That's just where I want to be.
Oh, thank you, gentlemen.
Yes. Okay, gentlemen. That seems to be all the business for this evening, unless let everyone leave. Broke for June, or just wait till he gets
up? I would wait.
Just wait a minute.
How we?
John, see you. Good, you did. Mm-hmm. You shaved yourself. Oh, gosh.
Do we have any other business?
I'm sorry?
Do we have any other business?
There being no further business from the board, but open for adjournment.
Motion to adjourn.
I'll second that motion.
All in favor of the motion?
Aye.
All opposed? Motion adjourned, subject to call by Mr. Mills.